So I think the number one, let's clear the air about the location changes. What happened there? Initially, it was going to be in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Initially, it was going to be at LA Center Studios, which is where we had it last year.
Right.
And
which is one block from our radio studio.
Oh, yeah, you were saying downtown, right?
Yes.
Yeah, super cool. So, yeah, down there. And that was a great place. And they wanted us back. And there was a council person in LA City, a county person who really found out about it and didn't want it happening.
Jan Perry? Or?
I don't know the name. I really don't, I'm being honest. I mean, there is one person I think everyone knows, and she's been making a stink in, I think, trying to close down dispensaries, maybe, and stuff
yeah,
like this.
That's happened.
So I think maybe it's that person, maybe that woman you just mentioned.
Sure.
And so anyway, I think that the police department made a fuss, and, you know, they messed with our permits. You need a permit to have these events. Like, we were following a letter of law. They knew that, but they just didn't want it happening there for whatever reason. So finally we said, fine, you know what? Glendale was willing to have us. They said, come on over. We thought it was a different jurisdiction. Maybe it's the same county. I don't know if what happened, but just 3 days ago, they called and they said, can't do this. You know, same
because it was still under LAPD jurisdiction.
I don't know.
Glendale might be one of
the. I think it's the same county.
Yeah.
So same sheriff.
The valley is very strange because there's a weird delineation as to what is the valley and.
It wasn't the same. I know it wasn't the same PD. It wasn't the same PD. But you know, like, look, if someone doesn't want you in their town, they're not going to let you be in their town. They're not going to let you go in the next town. They all have friends. It's one town over, you know, like, so we didn't realize that we were being, you know, maybe a little too flagrant, you know, putting it in your face, maybe. Long story short, couldn't have it there. We almost canceled it. I was already here. The competition had already taken off. You know, the competition starts 2 weeks ago, you know, so we come out here and we get that going, but they have to judge all that. So that's happening, you know, and now we don't have a venue. And then I don't know how this happened. I don't know who it was that found. I don't know who it was that found the place, but they say, come on out. It's far enough away. I don't think anybody gives a shit from LA. You know, they're just like, okay, get out of here. But we pulled it off, you know?
Yeah.
We pulled it off, yeah.
Do you think the turnout would have been different if it would have been able to stay in LA?
I actually think the turnout's pretty great for last-minute change.
Yeah.
Like
of course.
Yeah.
I'm not really surprised, though, because, like, the people who come out to the cops are pretty hardcore. They're definitely, you know, soldiers and down for the cause just as much as, you know what I mean? So, no, that's the kind of people we are. You know, that's how this whole movement is really taking shape, at least in my lifetime. You know, it's just standing up, and that's what I think. Yeah, I'm not surprised at all. In fact, I think that sometimes when you face adversity like that, and everyone sees, holy shit, they got fucking knocked down. Oh, they got knocked down again. What? They're doing it? They're going to do it? Fuck, let's go. And, like, it becomes this epic thing, and it'll be that thing where people are like, remember when that happened, you know? And they'll be telling that story, you know, hopefully in 10 years, and we have it federally legalized, you know what I mean? And we'll be thinking back at all this kind of shit that we've gone through. We've gone through it everywhere.
Well, I was at Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam.
That was, I mean, in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
If it...
Now, it was the first time High Times did the event somewhat outside of the main square. And
yeah, apparently that was another one of these, like, legal issues, and, like, we were, like, 50 meters past the city limit.
Yeah.
And those people were, like, not in our town. You know, some people are like that. Some people are just like, there's that antiquated, you know, notion, which, you know, propaganda from, like, Reefer Madness style. It's like, who knows if... Because it's not even our parents' generation, you know? It started with their parents. Like, our parents are... They might not smoke, but, like, they're not like, oh, my God, weed's bad. Like, dude, you know, that generation is pretty chill. So, like, there's... But there's still, like, those, like... The people that get something in their head, they're stubborn or whatever, or it's political. Yeah, what a bitch, dude. It was not cool to have to go through that, but...
It's like, if they're stubborn, they're going to be as stubborn as they can be.
So I'm curious. High Times has always been very pro-legalization. What is High Times' stance on medicinal marijuana in California? Do you see it as a stepping stone, or is the end goal still just complete legalization?
No, the end goal is definitely legalization, you know. And, you know, when medical first happened, like, I'll be the first to admit that I thought it was kind of a joke. I mean, this is going back to 96, though, so this is a long time ago, you know, and I was just out of school, and I remember thinking, you know, those crazy Californians, you know, and it's a step is how I looked at it. And when I really signed on at High Times and I started traveling and meeting people and I saw the real medicinal value of it, I think I accepted it immediately. And the people at High Times already had, they knew, like, they kind of showed, they were like, no, you know, Nico, like, seriously, like, this is good stuff. And I started doing the research, seeing the science, talking to doctors. I mean, I interviewed Raphael Meshulam in Israel. Like, it's been wonderful. I've learned so much. And I think High Times, because of that, collectively, we did embrace medical. We put out a medical marijuana news and reports out in the medical states that was dedicated just to medical, because it was too hard to cover both, and we wanted patients to have access to it, and the dispensaries won't carry High Times. It's just too recreational. You know, our past is pretty checkered. We used to put hard drugs in the magazine, and we're a fun time party magazine, you know. So, like, some of the real hardcore medical people were like, High Times, which, you know, that sucks, because we want to support it, but at the same time, would be advertisers or people who could distribute and get the word out for us. They're like, no, I can't have that in my office. So we're like, you know what, fuck it. We'll make a medical magazine. It was a quarterly, and we just actually closed it up. It made it about 4 years, I guess, we ran it. And it was good. It is good. But, you know, the magazine...
Where was it distributed? Just in California?
The West Coast, the entire West Coast, and Colorado, and Michigan, all the medical states. Like, every time a medical state, we could get in there, we would. But it wasn't like Barnes and Noble's, like High Times is. No, I don't think it was. I think Barnes and Noble's and those bookshops will only carry the magazine itself.
What's your what do you think about the legalization in Seattle and Denver and those states?
I think that, I mean, God bless those states. I mean, Colorado was the first state to actually amend its state constitution. I mean, they amended their state constitution. It was remarkable. I have tremendous respect for that state. I've talked about it at length when I go out there in seminars and whatnot. It's, what they did is a model for what everyone should have done. It, because later on down the line, when we get into the courts, which we will, and to your question, I think that's where Seattle and Colorado are going to end up, in the courts, because this is going to be a test for the federal government.
Right.
Thank God Obama won, because, and he doesn't have another term, so he could kind of, I mean, he screwed the movement quite a few times, you know. Maybe now he could just be like, look, guys, there's two states, and maybe he'll chill. I don't know, but it's a test. Those two states are a test, and then the next two up are going to be California and Massachusetts, and now we're trying to figure out who will be the next state. It's like a race, east versus west.
Is it strange for High Times to be headquartered in New York City and not have medicinal marijuana in that state?
Yeah, it's fucking retarded.
How is the marijuana situation in New York based, like, compared to out here?
Oh, dude, it's night and day still.
Yeah.
It's still night and day. I'm not even going to lie, you know.
Are the laws harsh there?
No, it's really not, you know, but, like, look, on any given day in any section of Manhattan, you'll walk down the street and you'll smell weed. People will walk down the street on their lunch break, they'll light a dude, they'll hit their bat, it's no worries. I mean, it's not like San Francisco, it's not like flagrant, it's very covert dugouts and shit, you know, like that, and they're not going to bust you.
I found it interesting, because I lived in New York City this past summer for a month, and trying to find people that smoked, and going into bars and stuff, and where in California I would casually just ask, hey,
you're right, it's
what's
not
up,
like,
and they looked at me like I was asking for crack.
It's not like that. It really isn't. And that's why it's so different. Not that people, not as many people smoke there, although probably not. I mean, California, everyone smokes. But it's more just like, it hasn't ingratiated itself into a lifestyle. Like, it's not taboo.
Sounds like you just settled the East Coast, West Coast.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm from Jersey, all right? So I like Cali, but...
How sweet.
But, you know, I'm a Jersey guy, so... And we got medical, so... There's that. I have medical in my own state. Of course, I'm not qualified for it. When my wife shoots me next weekend, or then I can maybe get a script.
Yeah.
No, you got to be really sick in Jersey to get it.
And right.
They won't even let the shops open. Like, there's, I think the first one finally opened like 3 years after the bill. It's so retarded. It's backwards, you know. But there's a lot of that, dude. You know, and it's in, you know, politics. I'm not gonna get into it, but.
But there's some initiative in New York City to get medical marijuana.
So the real deal, to be perfectly honest, is that New York City decriminalized marijuana in 1977, I want to say. And from that time, you could, in regards to that law, hold up to an ounce on you and it would be just a ticketable offense. However, New York City in particular, has historically had mayors who have chosen not to use that loophole, and in fact it was an arrest, and it was used probably towards racial profiling means. Like, some of the records that have come out recently are like staggering when you really look at the arrests in New York City. Like, there's a problem there. But lately, you know, it's been pretty lax. Giuliani, you know, he was hardcore, dude. He cleaned it all up and took all the sex out of the city, took all the drugs out of the city, but also took all the guns out of the city and became really clean. You know, it sucks. Like, weed gets wrapped up in lots of issues.
Yeah.
You know, weed is a drug. Drugs go with guns. You know, guns go with, you know, and it's like, in cities like New York, yeah, the culture isn't there. It's not, like, here. You know, we went to the Rainbow or whatever that place in LA is.
The Rainbow Room?
Yeah, people are just blazing
out. Did you bump into Be Real? Like, he hangs out there.
Oh, no. Who was there? There was some big dude.
Lemmy
there.
Lemmy
hangs out there a lot. He was a big dude. It was a rocker. Fuck, I can't believe I can't remember. I'm stoned.
Yeah.
I play in bands. I've like performed in the upstairs area a few times.
It's LA's cool like that, man. There's a lot.
Yeah. We just would smoke wherever, like stand up by the van,
smoke.
So since you're the cultivation editor, a question I have for you, because of the openness of growing medicinal marijuana in California, what would you say are some of the best advances in cultivation that you've seen maybe in the past 5 years?
The best advances.
Hydroponics is now a standard, or?
Well, yeah, but, you know, hydroponics is something that's been around for a very long time. It's still a pretty decent method. I don't think it's the most popular. I think the biggest advances have come in lighting technology in the past 5 years. You've heard a lot about LEDs, which, you know, I'm not generally too big a fan, but
initially the LEDs were considered not powerful enough for flower.
Initially, well, there's... Tomorrow, I'm going to do a whole seminar on this at 5 p.m.
Okay.
It's going to blow your mind.
Cool.
Serious. We're going to get all into it, so I won't geek out right now. But yeah, initially they were bad. They got better. But it also sparked a debate about, you know, spectrum and natural light, sunlight, right? So, and now the next step is plasma, plasma bulbs. Then that has a broader spectrum, you know. So I think that's a super cool technology, and it really hasn't hit the market yet. Like, I've got prototypes. I've seen it in one or two places, but you can't really get it.
And is it more about giving the plant the wavelength that it benefits from most?
It's about giving it all of the wavelengths, you know, just as it would get from the sun, you know. So we skimp on that lighting like we do a metal halide in veg, you know, and that's a bluer, whiter hue, and keeps the plants and the inner node lanes short so they stay squat. It's like they're vegging out, okay, and bushy. And then we flip it to an HPS, which is like an orangey, like reddish, more autumn, you know, light, which is what, you know, the plants do need in the autumn is they're fruiting in nature. And that's heavy in the red spectrum, and that's good. But the truth of the matter is, like, it would be better to just have all of that all the time. You know what I mean? Now, like, people are doing it to manipulate a plant. Like, you're doing it to keep it short. You're doing it to stretch it out. That's cool, but that's not really natural. So, you know, people don't even think about that because that's just, like, basic veg, flower. Everyone knows it. But, like, what are you really doing? And what do you really want? And then, like, they'll be like, what, I give it all organics? And I'm just like, yeah, but, like, you're growing it in hydro. Like, that's not natural. Like, sorry, it's not organic. Like, and it goes, in that philosophy, like, I'm a purist, so I'll take that right down to the fucking photons in that fucking 760 nanometer red spectrum, and that's what we'll talk about, and how that affects ATPs and NADP and photosynthetic processes. Like, I geek out.
Nice.
You don't want to hear this, but I'm telling you, I geek out. But, like, what is organic, you know? What is synthetic?
I mean, if you're reproducing sunlight, then it's technically not organic, right?
Well, no, the light is definitely not natural. But, you know, like, and some people are like, look, we're humans, we're natural, made this water bottle natural.
Right, right.
You know, like, and it does, like, it just goes around. But no, I mean, seriously, like, it's really about medium and nutrients, you know, when you're talking about organic certifications. And I don't believe that you can really grow something without, I mean, I guess you could, I guess technically anything. I don't know where I stand on it.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
So, aside from your own talks going on here at the High Times Cannabis Cup, what are some of the other talks that you find interesting?
Well, there's going to be one in it. It's called the DAB panel.
So tell me about those DABs, because I'm seeing it everywhere. She knew all about DABs. I knew nothing about it. Tell me what DABs are.
Well,
is
DABs,
it concentrates?
DABs are, yeah. DABs are a form of hash, but it's a more concentrated form of hash. So to differentiate, we call it concentrates. And those are created with a chemical process. So there's a lot of controversy over that. So whereas our traditional bubble hash is made with water extraction, there's no chemicals involved. Concentrates use chemical, generally butane, which is where the term BHO, butane hash oil, comes from.
The thing with butane hash is that if you don't use high quality butane, you get a lot of that residual taste.
Well, it's that. You definitely want the purest types, and I'm not an expert on what that is, but you're right. And then there's also the purging process after, where you need to do something to get that excess solvent out, you know, because under pressure it's a liquid, you know, and then when it comes out of the machine, it's trapped in that resin, you know. So there's a lot of purging, they call it processes, you know, a lot of different processes. And then there's even secondary and third, I mean, like, it's a process, and it's dangerous. But the stuff that you'll see here, I would venture to say, is like B grade or better. I think it's safe. I think people have learned enough. Like, it's not dirty, it's not harmful. It's more dangerous to the yahoos who are making it.
Yeah.
That's what it's most dangerous to.
The pressure.
Yeah, they do stupid shit, working with cans of gas. Yeah, you know, blown. Always, you know.
Yeah.
Always.
Most of it's glass. The tubes are usually glass.
Yeah, it's awful. I mean, like, the professional people, like the big dispensaries and stuff, they buy specialized industrial equipment that they use for extractions for perfumes and fragrances. And that's how you make, like, you know, when you shoot it through a PVC thing onto a Pyrex.
I used to work at a smoke shop.
It's not good.
I would sell, like, cases of butane at a time.
Well, there is one key. There is this one type that is, like, one of the best polarities, best, it's called, like, Vector or something.
Yeah, Vector. It's seven times filtered
so
or something.
So many people would buy them, like, $150 at a time.
But then you can get, like, pharmacy grade or food grade, which is, like, N-tame, which is, like, one molecule.
But doesn't that one take longer to process? Isn't that, like, more of a 2 week process opposed to, like, an instant, like, the butane?
Which one?
The for the food.
For food?
Yeah, for the
For the food grade gas you're talking about, or are you talking about to make food?
The food grade gas.
The food grade gas, from my own, I'm not an expert on this. My understanding is okay. So, like, the Vector is the best in the can, and that is called, like, I don't know the names, but okay. So then to get that, like, in a you know, because the people who make a lot, they don't want to keep using those stupid cans. A lot of us throw and buy cases. They want to just get a big fucking tank. But to get a tank, you need like a license. So you can have a kitchen license and you get food grade. And then I'm not sure if there's another type. There might be like another type that you get like for science. You can get even pure one. But I'm not sure. So that's what I'm referring to. Like, they all get that. And I don't think that process, maybe the process of getting the gas takes time, but like, it all depends on the machine. I mean, they just blow it right over it. It's all pressurized. It stays liquid. And then they recapture it. And then when they let the pressure go, you know, it doesn't stay liquid on the, you know, once there's no more pressure, and it will evaporate. But that's when it's explosive too. So I'm smoking a cigarette or something. But no, it shouldn't take any longer, as far as I know.
What are your views on like industrial hemp? That's something that I kind of touches on a lot.
Industrial hemp. You know, we used to have a magazine called Hemp Times.
A while ago,
before my time at High Times. Yeah, we don't do much with hemp movement, to be quite honest with you. We have such a small staff, it sucks. There's like 20 of us.
Yeah.
We put these on and we do a magazine. Yeah, this one.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I almost feel like that is the actual area that's holding the federal government back. Like the money loss, and not really just the use of it. It's more of a lobbyist don't want it because they don't want to lose out from it.
I've had that same conspiracy theory myself, and I think you might be right.
Yeah.
No one will believe us. No, I'm serious. Like, I've said it to people. I've said the same thing. I've been like, because, like, I think about it, I'm like, what's the thing? Like, what's the thing that's, like, keeping this? Like, there's a thing. There's one thing. What is it? Like, we have medical. Like, people, everyone smokes. Fucking presidents smoke. Like, they
clean. It's because it should
outdo oil. So what is the thing? And then I wonder, like, is it tobacco? Is it tobacco? But then you're right. Even bigger. Is it oil? Is it hemp and petrol? Is it, like, the wood paper industry? Like, is it cotton people? Like, who's threatened? Is it, could it be this? Or is it all of them? Or forestry? Could it all be all of them? You know, the Bilderberg. And like the, have you heard of that shit? There's like eight families that control
Definitely.
The world and shit.
Yes.
You know, do they all own shit that like could compete with hemp? It's like, probably. It's interesting, you know? Like, biggest, what the fuck? It's weed. Like, are you kidding me? The fact that people get busted and are arrested, it's just, it's crazy.
Well, we're glad that High Times has been around as long as it has and doing the work that it's doing. And, you know, you guys are the symbolism for the counterculture movement that's been around forever.
So, thank you.
Thank you for being a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on the show. Pretty cool stuff.
Keep in touch. It would be cool if sometime you like called in, or if you're ever in LA on a Tuesday.
That would be awesome. I do like going into studios and like talking into mics and like taking bomb rips and stuff. That's fun.
Yeah, we have a full-blown radio studio in downtown LA.
Like, fuck yeah. I'm out here a lot, so we could definitely do that.